Glory, 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 glory. This morning, I want to talk about who you are in Christ. Now, this is a subject that is vitally important, that we really realize who we are in Christ. You know, I want everybody to hold up a Bible or your device that's got your Bible on it, whatever. All right? Now say this with me. I'm who the Bible says I am. I have what the Bible says I have. I can do what the Bible says I can do. You know, just don't do that because I said to. You need to live that way. You know, many people want to be somebody, and they talk about wanting to be, should be, could be, or might be, or going to be. You ever met somebody like that? They're always talking about what they should do, what they want to do. You know, we need to do it. You know, we need to understand that when we begin to get a hold of who we are in Christ, it will change our whole life. We've been redeemed by Christ. You know, now I realize we have others here from other countries, but the majority of us here identify with as being an American citizen. Right? How many identify as American citizen? You see, that you are saying, I am a part of the United States of America. Hello? You know, it's important for us to understand and say who we are in Christ. If you are in another country and they asked you to identify your nationality, you identify as a U.S. citizen. Is that correct? Or if you're from another country, you identify with that country. Well, we need to identify with in Christ. You know, one of the, William Barclay, who I believe he was a Presbyterian minister, I think, or maybe one of the other. Anyway, he's from England or some of the Isles over there. And he was a great scholar in the Word of God. And he said this, using this analogy about being in Christ. We cannot live our physical life unless we're in air, and the air in us. And we cannot live for Christ in Christ unless we are in Christ and Christ is in us. We cannot live the life of God unless we're in Christ and Christ in us. We cannot live the life of God. Now, God sees you not who you are, but he sees you who you are in Christ. He looks at you through being redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we just said. Tell them, I have been redeemed. Now, I didn't know they was going to sing that, but that's a good song to go with what I'm speaking on. You know, Christ took the punishment that we should have taken. Christ was the perfect sacrifice for all of the sins, and his blood represented that sin sacrifice. Now, let me give you a little bit. Most of you know this, but let me remind you of it. And if you don't, then you can learn it. In the Old Testament, they would kill a lamb that was spotless. I mean, it had no blemishes. It was perfect. And then they would take that blood and they would rub it on the head of a goat. And they would turn it loose into the wilderness. It was called the scapegoat. And then they would take that lamb and they would sacrifice it to the Lord for a sin offering. Their sins were covered for 1 year. They had to do that every year. But Jesus Christ came, and the Lamb of God that became the one and only supreme sacrifice when his blood was shed on Calvary, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. It's not, they had, their sins were covered. Our sins, we are forgiven. See, in other words, God looks at our humanity through Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension and seating. Galatians 2:20 says we've been crucified with Christ. Romans 6:4-5 says we are buried with Christ in death. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that we arose with Christ at his resurrection. Ephesians 2:6 also tells us we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. In God's mind and in God's eyes, we were all there with Christ during his redemptive work. His death became our death. His burial became our burial. His resurrection became our resurrection. And that is one of the reasons that we have water baptism. It is to symbolize dying and being raised again, a new person in Christ Jesus. It's an outward symbol of something that's already taken place on the inside in the inner man. How many understand that? Hello? Now, you know, his ascension was our ascension. His seat is our seat. His victory is our victory. His life is our life. His blessings are our blessings. Everything that God gave to Christ has now become a part of us because we have accepted Jesus Christ and become born again. If you happen to be here today and you haven't accepted Christ, you can do that today and stand in the same place that we stand. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, or how short you've been saved, or if you just ask Christ into your heart, every time you become in Christ, everything he has is yours. Hello. You see, now, just as all men sinned in Adam, so all men escaped sin in Christ. Just as all men died in Adam, all men conquered death in Christ. Now, that does not mean the cessation of life. In the Word of God, you need to understand when that word death is used, you need to understand whether it means cessation of life or being dead to Christ, to God. See, it says you were dead in your trespasses and sin, but you were alive, weren't you? So it's talking about spiritual death. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden and got kicked out, since he was the mole for mankind, then what happened with him was transferred to us. Now, when I was going to Bible school, I worked at Plastics Manufacturing Company making bowls. Well, one night, you know, you got a quota to make, man. You don't worry about, you take that, you put that, you hit that button, that press comes together, it comes apart, you take that, and you know, that thing, and you get them out and you put them down. They're going to take them to the finish room. They can look at it and see if it's all right or not. I ain't got time because I got to make a quota. If I don't make my quota, the next night when I come in to go to work, I worked the midnight shift, and I would get my card and on it it said, you didn't make quota last night. If you don't make it tonight, don't bother to come back. I'm serious. Any of y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So, man, I'm just, and all of a sudden the foreman come by and said, shut it down, shut it down. I said, what? He said, one of the molds, because I had six bowls up here, three, and six down here. And one of the molds had developed a crack. So every bowl that was made in that mold had a deal in the side of the bowl, had that image of that crack. We are made in the image of Adam, the man, mankind, all mankind we're talking about. So therefore, what happened to Adam was transferred to all of us. But through Christ, death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, we have been redeemed. It's like they changed the mold, so now I got a perfect bowl. See, Jesus became the new mold that our lives is molded after. Therefore, now we're in Christ, and God sees us not as sinners. He sees us as in Christ, completely pure and whole and healthy, standing before Him. Amen. In Christ, everything that Adam had and lost, see, he lost it. Remember, he got kicked out of the garden? Remember that? If you don't know, go read Genesis. And then go read in Romans about the second man, Adam, he's called. I don't have time to teach the whole thing. I just want to get you thinking about who you are in Christ this morning. And so through Christ, everything that Adam lost, remember, he was everything. He controlled the garden. He had man who was in control, you know, but he didn't even have to work. But because he messed up, God said, you're going to work. Go read it. See, being born again, we are thrust into the new spiritual mold. And therefore, our existence with Christ is who we become. Now, unless you know who you are in Christ, you can't reap the benefits. Hello. You know, every one of us have a family name. Every one of us has been, you know, whatever our parents had passes to us. I mean, you look at you know, everybody said, man, the older you get, the more you look and act and sound like your dad. Anybody out there say that? I've had several of you tell me that. Why? Because I'm of him. Right? Cameron, Craig's oldest, and his dad, they look and act so much alike it's unreal. You see, we're in Christ. Now we need to become and do and act and look and act and receive everything that belongs to us because of who we are in Christ. You see, when Dad left in 2003, he left me in charge. And so I'm to take care of Mom till she goes. And when she goes, it was all written out. He had it written out, instruction with the attorney and all that. Then everything that was left after I took care of her, when she went in 2007, it was my responsibility to transfer whatever they had that was left. Half of it went to me and half of it went to my sister because there's only two of us. He said, I helped the grandkids and the great-grandkids, and now this what's left is y'all's. So, why? Because of who I am. I'm Kenneth Hagin. Whatever Christ has is yours because you're in Christ. You see, you need to understand that you live in two worlds at the same time, the spiritual world and the natural world. And in the natural world, there are certain things that belong to you because of who you are, American citizen, a member of your family. And because of who you are in Christ, there are certain things that belong to you because of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you don't know who you are in Christ, you can't take advantage of the benefits. Right? Anybody ever heard of a famous preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon? He lived many years ago in England. One day, Spurgeon was visiting one of the sick elderly members. She lived in a one-room shack. It was so cold in there that she had to stay in bed covered up with blankets up to her neck to even try to stay warm. She was dying of malnutrition. Spurgeon glanced around the room and he noticed a document on a frame on the wall, and he asked the woman about it, and she told him it was an appreciation letter from the English noblewoman that she had worked for nearly half a century. The aged woman could not read, so Spurgeon asked if he could take the letter to a lawyer whose name was on the document to have him look at the letter. When he took it to the lawyer said he had been looking for the document. It was part of the last will and testament of the lady the woman had worked for. She had bequeathed to the woman a beautiful house and a monthly allowance. This sickly, poverty-struck woman could have been living in luxury if she had known what the document said. It's the same with us. We got to know what the document says about being in Christ. When we get a hold of what the document, the Word of God, says about being in Christ, we don't no longer have to live in poverty, live in want, live in wishing. See, you know, I want you to realize that our daily living, the devil will try to challenge you and tell you, nah, that doesn't belong to you. That was just for the Jews, the Israelites. But wait, we got to come back to Galatians 3. And it said, if you be Christ, then you're part of the Abraham seed. Doesn't it? Then it talks about us being, we might call it this way, and in the Word of God we'll say it here in a minute, we've been adopted into the family of God. Now, if you do a little study, you'll find out that an adopted son has as much right as a natural son. Study that. Has as much right to all the inheritance. Hey, we have a right to all of the inheritance that God provided for us through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now, the enemy will bring up your past. He'll bring up everything that he can think of and some things he can't think of to tell you that this can't happen for you, that you're unworthy, that you're an unworthy creature. God never created any unworthy creatures or creation. You know, sometimes we need to realize that our circumstances do not reflect who we are or what we have in Christ. We can overcome those. But we have to choose to believe what the Word of God says. It says, and we're going to go back to it now. I'm going to reiterate some of this. We are crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. If you don't have it there, turn to it. Mark it in your Bible. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Some people are like, oh, I need to die to sin. What do you need to die to sin for? You've already been crucified with Christ. Your sin was crucified with him. We have a new existence in Christ. Come on. We're a new creation in Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. You probably have some of these scriptures marked. Some of you may not. Some of you may say, I've heard this before. Well, you need to hear it again. We need to continually be stirred up about who we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Amplified Version says, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is now a new creature altogether. A new creation. Engrafted. And the Word of God says that we have been engrafted. Have you ever, you know, you might not have known about it, but you can take and engraft a limb on a tree. And they make a little cut, and then you got the proper cut from the other limb, and you put it there, and then you bind it. And it began to grow, and it becomes engrafted to that tree, although it was not originally part of that tree. How many of y'all know about that? How many of them have seen that happens? See, I want you to notice as we read this 2 Corinthians 5:17 in both these versions, New King James Amplified, it doesn't say we should be, want to be, or trying to be a new creation in Christ. It says we are. Doesn't it? If anyone be in Christ, old things, he is a new creation, new person. You could put in there. You could read it this way. If I am in Christ, then Kenneth is a new creation. You can put your name there. It doesn't destroy the scripture. Sometimes as you're reading the scripture, if you put your name there, it makes it become a little more forceful to you. How many understand what I'm talking about? Hello. This scripture says, I am a new creation in Christ. When does that happen? The minute you are born again, the very second you are born again, it happens on the inside. Now you're going to have to do something about the outside. Bible tells you that. It tells you that you have to renew the mind. Hello. Immediately the spirit is recreated, but you have to renew the mind to think in line with the Word of God, to think in line with Christ. How many understand where I'm coming from? Then you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Look, turn to Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For there is no difference. Now, I want to read that from the Message version. But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God setting things right that we read about has become Jesus setting things right for us. And not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them. Hallelujah. See, just as God made them right through that sin offering that was offered every year. Hello. We have been made right through the one and only sin offering from the Lamb of God that hung suspended between heaven and earth on that cross and shed his blood, and there became a river of blood flowing, and people plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty state. He paid the penalty for our sin that we might enjoy the benefits of righteousness. Hallelujah. Now, look at this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you don't have these scriptures marked, you need to mark them. If you got a device, you can hit that and it'll mark them for you. Can mark them. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:20. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. I want you to notice that he did not sin. He willfully took sin. Remember in the garden where he said, let this cup pass from me? He drank of the cup. He became the sin offering, the sin sacrifice. Now, Arthur S. Way's translation says it this way. Jesus knew not yet God made him to be the world's sin for our sake, that we whose sin he had thus assumed might become by our union with him the very righteousness of God. Now, you see, we're establishing here, we're crucified with him, right? We're crucified with him. Is that right? We're a new creation, a new person in Christ. Now it talks about we are the righteousness of God. And now it talks about that he became the sin that, and he took our penalty so that we could enjoy righteousness, right? Now it says in Romans 3:24, go to Romans 3:24 now. You are justified by faith. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then it talks about we're being justified by faith. See, it said Abraham believed and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. We believe and it's accounted unto us as righteousness. Right? Same thing. Now, you're children of God. And then what does Romans 8:16 and 17 say? A lot of you already have this, but if not, you need to go there. Okay? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Man, that says that we are heirs with Jesus Christ, joint heirs. My sister and I were joint heirs of Kenneth and Oriza Hagen's household, estate, or whatever you want to call it. Now, look at Ephesians. Let's go look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll start there with verse 3. It tells us, we are blessed in heavenly places in Christ. Right? See it there? Then look at the next verse. Verse 4. It tells us we are chosen in him. Any of you ever been, you know, I don't know how they do it now in school, but when I was in grade school, we would always choose up at recess time and we'd play, we always played football. I don't know what they play nowadays, basketball, I guess, maybe soccer, I don't know. But anyway, and you'd choose two guys would be the captains, and usually it was the two best players, right? And they would choose, right? And you always wanted to get chills on a certain team. I always did. And thank God I could run fast. So I was always, I was always one of the first one chosen, and I was glad for that, you know. But I used to feel sorry for Johnny because he was always the last one chosen. And a lot of times when I would get chosen by Jack or Joe, one of them guys, you know, I say, hey, let's don't leave Johnny to the end. You're going to have to pick him anyway, because let's pick him early and make him feel better. I would do that. And we would. So he would sometimes, you know, but we were all chosen, right? This says that we have been what? Chosen. Hallelujah. Then look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. It tells us we are adopted by Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. Right? We've been adopted. I talked about that a while ago. I told you we'd come back to that. All right. Now, look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. It tells us we are accepted. So you need to realize, I don't care if nobody else accepts you or not. You're accepted by God, and that's what really counts. Forget everybody else. Who cares? Then now look at verse 7. We are now redeemed through his blood. They just sang about it, didn't they? I've been redeemed. Now drop down to verse 13. Verse 13 in Ephesians 1 there. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Man, when you seal a document, that means it is law. When I was in the army over in Taiwan, I bought a motorcycle, but I had to go and get, they called it a chop. I don't know really what it is, but it's the same thing, and I had to stamp that on that bill of sale. I had to stamp it. We have certain documents, and we have a Rhema seal that we put on it. How many Rhema grads do I have in this congregation? Have you ever looked at your diploma? In one corner of it, there's a seal, right? What does that seal say? That you are a qualified member of Rhema Bible College. Hello? You know, how many of you have ever been in a real estate or car transaction or something, had to have something notarized? That notary has a seal, right? And after where you sign it there, they put that seal right on that signature. That seals it. That document is sealed. This says that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean we've been filled with the Spirit. That's a different situation. But you are, the Holy Spirit is the one that woos you and convicts you and brings you in. And once you accept Christ, you're sealed. Amen? Now, you know, many of us already knew these. Some of you, this may be a little new to you. But, you know, we need to realize that these things are ours because of who we are in Christ. Now, being in Christ should be a part of your daily confession. Now, there's a little book out there called In Him. And everybody that comes to, hey, let me see that, Tom. Thank you, buddy. This little book written by my dad, actually it wasn't written to him. This is things that he would say about being in Christ, and they took and put it there, and then they took all the In Him scriptures and put them back here together, all of them here for you. But we need to realize, you know, that in Christ, in Him, in the Beloved, in the Lord, in whom, by Christ, by Him, by Himself, by His blood, by whom, from whom, of Christ, of Him, through Christ, through Him, with Christ, with Him, by me, in my love, in my name. All of these things are telling us who we are in Christ. And you don't even have to go look them up. They already been looked up for you. The scriptures are all there. But we need to daily make the confession of who we are in Christ. See, you need to confess who you are in Christ. The more you confess it, the more it becomes a reality to you. Have any of you ever known somebody had a low self-image of themselves, low self-esteem? One of the things that they have them to do, I know this from taking my psychology courses, one of the things that they have them to do is write their name over and over and over again. Anybody know about that? Yeah, they write. Why? It's because it's to begin to build self-esteem in who they are. This is me. This is who I am. And this is what we need to do. We need to confess daily who we are in Christ. So you keep your focus on who you are in Christ, and the enemy can't get you looking at everything else. He'll try to get you looking at your past if he can. If you talk about who you are in Christ, then you talk about old things are gone. You already confessed, hey, that doesn't work. That doesn't exist anymore. Now, he will want to challenge who you are. He'll try to challenge you. You know, and then some people begin to talk about, well, they want to be all they can with Christ. And they should be, they could be, they're going to be. No, in Christ. In Christ, there's no should be, want to be, or going to be. You are. You are in Christ. A new creation. Come on now. You see, do you realize you won't rise any higher than your confession of who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ? Some people, because they haven't understood who they are in Christ, devil keeps them down and keeps them, under condemnation all the time. No, when you begin to realize who you are in Christ, the devil can't keep you under condemnation. He can't keep you down. He can't keep you from receiving what belongs to you. But as long as he can keep you down, say, well, you know, I better confess my sin. Hey, you confess your sins and Christ has delivered you and set you free. You don't have to bring it up again. It's already gone. Now, if you do mess up, then you do ask God to forgive you. Say, I'm sorry, just like if you mess up me. You know, how many of you have ever messed up and transgressed against the rule of your parents? How many of you had to go back? How many of you had to go back and say, I'm sorry? Huh? That's what you do. That's all it is when you mess up with God. All you got to do is, God, I'm sorry. And that's all there is to it. But now the devil will keep throwing all that mess at you to try to keep you condemned. But the more you confess who you are in Christ, the stronger you get, the stronger you become. And therefore, you walk through all of those circumstances and those situations. When you really begin to understand who you are in Christ, you begin to possess all that belongs to you in Christ. When you really begin to understand who you are in Christ, you understand that the power of God is there for you to help you accomplish. You know, when you begin to understand who you are in Christ, you put yourself in a stable, secure position where the enemy can no longer take advantage of you. Hello. You know, the idea that I'm trying to get across to you this morning is your position in Christ, and then take advantage of that. How do you do this? By believing what Christ did on the cross for us and then confessing it with your mouth. You can make what Christ did at Calvary a reality in your life by believing these truths and confessing them. Anybody getting anything out of this today? I want everybody to stand right now. You that know that you are born again, we're going to make some confessions. But before we do, I want to give an opportunity. If there's anybody here that you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know what it was to be in Christ, but you know you're not exactly where you're supposed to be with Him. Or you may be like some people, you've been going to church and you don't know, you've never confessed Christ Jesus. If that's you, on any one of those three, I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here now, because I want you to receive Christ so that you can make these confessions with us. So come on right now. Come on right now. Or if the devil been holding you in condemnation and you just want to come and publicly say, hey, I am going to confess who I am in Christ, if you haven't been doing that. I'm waiting. Anybody coming right now? Come on. If you don't know Christ, if you need to rededicate your life, come on now. Come on now. I'm waiting. Here comes a lady right now. Come on down. Hallelujah. Come on down here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Come on. If you're in the balcony and want to come, the ushers will help you down here. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the God. Anybody else want to come? Come on. There's some more people should get out of it and come on down here. You're letting the devil cheat you right now. You're letting the devil cheat you right now. Because you say, oh, I don't want to walk down there. They'll think I've done something wrong. We don't care what we think. We don't think nothing. We're just glad you're coming. We're just glad you're coming. Nobody's condemning you. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah to Jesus. Nobody, come on. Anybody else want to come? Come on, join these. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Anybody else coming right now? Come on. Okay. I want y'all to raise your hand like that. Okay. I want all y'all in the congregation to raise your hand too. And I want y'all to say this confession of faith with me, with them. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son Jesus that came and died on a cross and shed his blood so that I could be righteous. You said in your holy word that if I believe that in my heart and confess it with my mouth, I would be a new creation. I thank you now. I'm a new person in Christ. Old things are gone. All things have become new. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Now just stay right here, and then I want you to go in a minute to a place where you can be prayed with more individually and given some things. But now I want all of us. Okay, some of you have been saved for years and years and years. These have come either to rededicate themselves, and I think both of them rededication, but they're just as much in Christ as you are. Now, we're all going to make these confessions together. I am crucified with Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a child of God. A member of God's family. I'm an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'm chosen in Him. I'm adopted by Him. I am accepted by Him. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I am justified by faith. I am sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now put your hands up and thank God for it. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. you too. I want you to see Don over there. Would you just go with her to that place where y'all can get some books, get this little book in him? Praise God. Glory to God. Give them a big hand as they go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, did anybody get anything out of this today? Hallelujah. I realize that a lot of you already knew a lot of this, but it's good to just reaffirm it. As I was getting ready for this message, it bolstered me up again. I knew all this. I studied in Bible school. I teach a course on it in Rhema every year. But just studying it again, I just taught it a couple of months ago, I guess, when I quit teaching it. But I don't know. There's something about when you get to studying who you are in Christ, it all begins to come alive. How many of you begin to come alive on the inside of you again this morning, over again? You already knew it, but it just began to churn and become alive again inside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you got something you want to sing.
Another new creation.